Amen. Have a seat. Well, welcome if you're joining us online. I think we've got about 20 households with us this morning. That is fantastic. So we're praying for you, and we know that you're here with us in spirit. So yeah, we had a couple of weeks away. We made a last minute decision to, we were going to go to the East Coast, but when we were about to leave, the weather was closing in up there and lots of rain and stuff was happening. So we're into the West Coast. And we had a wonderful time. We were out at, anybody ever been to Ocean Beach and Macquarie Heads? And we camped out there and had a ball. And then we went to places like Tulla. We stayed a night at Tulla. Who's ever stayed a night at Tulla? any hydro people here ever worked at Tulla? Got to love it, haven't you? Tulla. And we just parked our caravan on the side of Lake Rosebery, and the water was so warm. It was absolutely stunning, beautiful. And then we actually escaped to this place we'd never heard of. Anybody ever heard of a place called Ever Creek? Or it's actually spelled Ever Creech. Anyone ever been there? There you go. And beautiful rainforest and magnificent. And then we finally got to the East Coast where we were heading. So we've had a ball. So good to be with you this morning. This morning, I want to really pick up on something Alex said, and then I'll get into the message. But I was just sitting down the back and having lots of peace there with the kids. Sort of feeling the serenity. And God spoke to me. That was in between arguing about Nintendos and things like that. But Ali was sort of just picking up on the journey of the last couple of years that, you know, we've all been on as a community, and then we've been on, you know, then there are things that are unique to the journey that we've all been on together as a church. We've had a huge move in the middle of a very uncertain and difficult time. But we've known right from the start that God was absolutely in it. We've known that there have been a whole lot of miracles that have come together to put us where we are. We see incredible opportunity ahead of us. But sometimes your emotion is not in the same place as the opportunity. Who's ever been there? You know, you know something, but it's like, hey, I'm not feeling it. Anyone, you know, in that sort of place. Because we're emotional beings, aren't we? We do that. That's the way we're wired. We're meant to be like that. But we're also meant to know that we're also created, that we've been given a spirit. And we're told that when we come to Jesus, that you have been given not just a revived spirit, but your spirit is completely made new. And where so often we struggle with all of our emotions is that we were created to have a spirit that leads our soul or our emotions. In other words, our spirit will actually lead us in the way that God has called us, in what the Holy Spirit's doing to us, and that will actually lead the emotional side of us into those places. That doesn't mean you won't feel it. Doesn't mean you don't have to deal with it. Doesn't mean you don't have to do the stuff that you need to do to work on your emotions. But ultimately, being spirit-led means that we go where God's calling us to go and the rest of us comes with it. And I could imagine there'd be many people who relate to that as I speak about that this morning. But what God was talking to me about this morning in Haggai 2, verse 9 to 12, it says this. It says, and it was talking about a season in Israel, and they had actually, they'd rebuilt the temple. And when they came to the temple, you know, the older people actually cried. They said, this is not what we had before. This hasn't got the glory of Solomon's temple. It hasn't got all the stuff. And they just felt like, oh. And then the prophecy was, the latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former. And in this place I will give peace, declares the Lord of hosts. And I believe that for many of you, you've been through seasons, you've been through stuff, and you actually look back and say, oh, you know, wasn't it good before we went through the last 2 years compared to the uncertainty and things that we see now? Or wasn't it good before this or that? Or you know, when we had different other people around? All those things that are there. But I believe this morning, and I want to declare, and I want to prophesy, and I believe that we need to receive it, that it says that the latter glory of this house, and I believe this is a word for us, the latter glory of this house, in other words, what God wants to do through us is going to surpass anything that we've been through before. So come on, you receive that wherever you are, whatever you've been through, whatever you've walked, that the latter glory, in other words, what you're being led into is going to surpass where you've been. I want to do a little bit of a recap as we go into this year. And we had a vision launch last year. It was fantastic. And I just want to touch base on that. And I want to sort of roll into some things that I think help us grab hold of that. But we've talked about the next decade, the next 10 years. And a theme as a church is real love. And before Jesus was betrayed and ultimately executed, I don't know what you would be doing before you were betrayed and executed. Many of you will have seen, you know, those death row films and things like that and that whole journey. And, you know, they often portray, you know, different journeys that people go through in that place. And, you know, and some people are, you know, full of remorse. Some people are totally, you know, their heart's as hard as ever it was. Some people just want to, you know, have a particular meal, or people want to talk to a certain person. But what Jesus did is he prayed for his friends, prayed for his disciples. And ultimately, as I unpack this scripture a little bit, he prayed for you, prayed for me. He prayed for everyone that would follow him. And in John 17, he says, I'm not praying only for these disciples. In other words, those people that were around him, his close friends, the 12 apostles in that upper room. He says, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. I pray that they will be one, just as you and I are one, as you're in me, and Father, I'm in you. And may they be in us, so that the world will believe you sent me. I've given them glory, the glory that you gave me, so that they may be one as we're one. I'm in them and you're in me. May they experience perfect unity, that the world will know that you have sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. And just take that in for a moment. If you're a follower of Jesus, if you've chosen to follow Jesus, if you've chosen to believe in him, now, the perfection of all love is the love that the Father and the Son have for each other. And he says, I pray that they, you, who choose to follow Jesus, will understand and feel and experience the same love that we have. You are loved. You're absolutely loved. And like I said, sometimes we don't feel it. Sometimes stuff happens. But you are incredibly loved. Not just a little bit, but you are loved beyond anything that you can imagine, anything that you can comprehend. The love that God has for you is not determined by your circumstances. It is not determined by how you feel. It is not determined by your actions. It is not determined by how good you are. It's not determined by how bad you were at work last week when you lost it with a coworker. It is not determined by any of those things. It is determined by God himself, who is love. You are loved. And he prays for his disciples and all of us that would follow him. And he says, for all who will ever believe in me through the message. Isn't that amazing? It's a love with no limits. It's a love that is not manipulative, but truthful and authentic. It's a love that's real. Jesus knew that love and unity working together was the only real sustainable thing that would draw people to believe in Jesus. If you've been following Jesus for a while, who's ever tried to convince somebody that they should believe in Jesus? I know Grant would have done. He's a natural evangelist. And you know, actually, I've watched his journey in that. And then there were times he probably felt really frustrated with people that don't get the same revelation we've got. And who's ever read a book on apologetics and thought, oh, now I know all this stuff and I can take everybody on and they'll believe? You see, it's actually more than that. It's more than intellect. But ultimately, it's about real love. People have got to work stuff out in their head, but if they don't experience and connect with that real love, you can talk to your black and blue in the face. See, real love and unity through Jesus does what nothing else can. And as a church, we are real people transformed by real love. Your church is real people unified by real love. Real, unpretentious, choosing to live lives that are large enough and spacious enough to attract people and welcome them into. It was interesting, last night we had an 8-year-old birthday, and we've done lots of kids' birthdays over the last 7 or 8 years, and we thought, oh, this one will be a little easier because we're not having as many kids. And you know, they're 8-year-olds now, so they won't be quite as crazy. And so we said, right, okay, you got less kids, but he chose 4 or 5 of his close friends, and we went go-karting, went down to Hyperdrive. It was awesome. Little aside note, I was actually going to go in one of the twin carts with Kyle, but then he didn't want to go, so I got to go in one of the proper ones and have a real crack. So I'm declaring that we'll do a men's ministry down there very soon.
Amen.
And anyway, and we get home and had this idea of making pizzas, and you know, they make their own pizzas and do that, and that, you know, and it was all going pretty crazy. And in the middle of this craziness, the grandfather of one of the boys comes to pick him up. And at this point, we're thinking, oh, it'd be good if some of the parents just came and got the kids and took them home. Anyway, and he was in no hurry to go anywhere. So we gave him pizza, we gave him coffee, we chatted and we talked, and he told us a lot about his life story and the whole thing. And there was so much about his life that was pretty tough. Been through a lot of stuff. But it just struck me that in the middle of the mayhem, in the middle of the mess, in the middle of the craziness, in the middle of a bench covered in flour and kids going berserk and all sorts of things happening, you know, here we are, you know, chatting to this guy about his life and just listening and understanding a little bit. I don't think we told him we go to church or we're Christians or anything like that, but we just got alongside. See, what it means is real love in you just means in the middle of your mess, in the middle of your mess, there will be space enough for somebody else to actually come in and actually want to be in that place. See, it's not about you having your ducks in a row. It's not about having everything lined up. It's not about being perfect. But that real love and unity that Jesus talked about is that people will meet us in our mess. And it's not that we're going to have all the answers, but we actually have Jesus. We have real love, and people will meet us in that place. Every morning when I'm here at work, and I mostly, you know, I don't have a long concentration span, so I have to get out of the office and go and get a coffee or do something. But when I walk out and walk down our arcade and walk into the streets of Moona, there are people there all the time that you meet in the middle of their mess. And the more and more we're prepared to take our mess to people's mess, and real love will reach people in that place. So come on, we are real people transformed by real love. Real love doesn't hold back. Real love is not limited, it's unlimited. Real love is uncontained. Real love is unconstrained. Real love unifies. Jesus says, may they experience perfect love. Real love multiplies. It doesn't stop. It is not limited. And Jesus said, I am praying not only for these disciples, but I'm praying for everybody who would believe in me through their message. Wow. Isn't that amazing? 12 disciples in a room, and one of them wasn't going to go the journey. Jesus is praying for them. And he said, I'm praying for these guys, and I'm praying for everyone who will believe. So in that moment, he's praying for you. Days or so later, the revival starts. 3,000 are added to the church, and it just kept growing and growing and growing and growing, and it hasn't stopped, and it hasn't finished, and we're going to see more revivals, and we're going to see a glory that is going to far surpass anything that has ever been before. And the real love actually prayed, and it connected, and it saw, and it understood everything you're going through, everything you've gone through. Jesus prayed for you in that moment. Come on, real love multiplies, and it will keep multiplying. Real love testifies. It's actually who you are that will testify to those around us. Come on, real love testifies. Real love glorifies. Real love isn't about you, but it is about God, and it's about others. Real love transfers. Then your love for me will be in them, and I will be in them. It's incredible. It doesn't stop. It actually transfers. Real love reaches. You know, we want to be big-hearted, big-spirited. We want to be a prophetic church. We want to be a church that declares hope across Tasmania and beyond. Did you know, while we were having our Christmas, New Year break, when everybody thinks, oh, I'm going to shut down and just sort of just forget about things a bit. Thanks to our good friend Peter Swift, I was doing a conference to Nepal, and it just struck me. It was amazing. We actually, in that moment, we got to minister to about, they had about 65. They had 65 pastors that they'd brought into a space in Napal Gunj in Nepal, and we were able to speak life. We were able to prophesy over them. We were able to speak future into their situation, and we've been there. We understand them, and they are brave, incredible men and women. And in that moment, you see, real love isn't limited by geographic location. It's not limited by where we are. We actually need to be prophetic beyond this space and where we are. So real love is a vision that's going to be worked out in three key areas in this church. And this is more the strategy. This is just us wrapping our heads around it. This is not like God said. But, you know, real love reaches. It gathers and it grows. You see, reaching beyond our close relationships and building, reaching beyond our comfortable circles. You know what Alex and I really know and believe and understand is that as a church, you know, that the probably the last 6 or 7 years that we were in Belle Reve, we were just comfortable. We were very, very comfortable. And there were some great things about that. But, you know, for God to take us where he needs to take us, he's actually had to do a bit of a shaking. There's had to be a bit of a rattling that's actually needed to go on. And we've actually got to move beyond our comfortable circles. We've got to reach into neighborhoods, suburbs, and regions. You know, I'm still believing that we're actually going to see. We're actually going to see expressions, you know, up and down this river in all sorts of places where people don't travel. You know, I know we've got people here, they've got a passion for Bridgewater and seeing God work in that place. Start praying for it. Continue to declare over it. You know, Simon and Jane, I know you do. And as you look from your house, as you look across in that way, come on, reach out your hands and declare life, declare hope, declare future over that area in the name of Jesus. I know we've got an amazing facility and building in New Norfolk, and we're going to see that relaunched in that place. Leone's been doing some amazing things in partnerships with local community groups, and that building up there is blessing the community almost as we speak. And Leone, in her business manager role, has done some incredible things in actually connecting people up there. And that is going to flow into an expression in that community. I'm believing to see that in this year. We're going to actually see that happening. We've got to reach beyond our comfortable circles. We've got to reach into neighborhoods, suburbs, and regions. We've got to reach into our city. We're in the business of restoration. We keep coming back to this verse, or this little passage, Isaiah 54. Sing, barren woman, you who have never born child. And many of you know the journey Alex and I have had. And obviously, for years, we couldn't read something like that without relating it to our own journey. But listen to the promise. You who have never born child, burst into song and shout for joy. You who were never in labour, because more are the children of the desolate woman than her who has a husband, says the Lord. Now, just relate that to all these things. All of us have got stuff that we think, yeah, I'm not this, or I haven't got that, or somehow I don't have something, but, you know, more than if you had what you believe was perfection. We're in the business of restoration. We're in the business of giving people dignity. One of the things that we actually did last year, I've got a friend known for a number of years called Raj, Pastor Raj, and one of the things he's done is in coming from India to Australia, he saw an opportunity to start a cricket league that give people connection and hope in a new community. And it's been immensely successful. The ICSL, the International Cricket League, is just amazing. And one of the things that happened was, you know, all the Sri Lankans and Pakistanis and Indians and so forth, you know, they just love cricket and they did really well and they gravitated to that. Anyway, It was a bunch of blokes in Glenorchy. Bunch of classic, mostly Anglo-Glenorchy blokes. That many of them were great sportsmen, but just life had actually meant that they hadn't had the opportunity and the focus that a lot of other people might have had. Anyway, they got together and they started a team in that league. And SBS actually did a whole story on it. And anyway, what we've done is we've formed a partnership with these guys, and you know, the couple of the guys regularly come in here and they sit down and they chat to Chris and I, and it's more than what we can actually do for them in an economic sense. Raj said, like, they need friends, they actually need mentors, they need people that will come alongside them, and in a couple of weeks ago we actually did a barbecue for them. So Chris, come and tell us about that. Tell us how that went. But also tell us, I believe we've got another, you're doing barbecue again today, is it? So tell us what's actually on there too. So come and join me. Chris, we need a mic here, don't we?
So rather than I'm explaining about what I'm going to say, I just read out the text. I got it when we had the barbecue with our cricket team. What the captain sent it to me. So it goes like this. Hi, Chris. Just wanted to say a very big thank you, you yourself and to other guys who came down to the match today and putting a barbecue on for us. Both myself and the rest of the team had a ball and really appreciated and thanked so much, right? So after that, I got another text, right? So I said, Chris, I just wondering if you guys would be interested doing another barbecue, right? For this Sunday, we have a 3:30 match at Sorel, and it is our last game for the season. So I was going to see if our boys would like to come down there and celebrate the season that we had. And I can thank the boys and you for the hard work you did it last Sunday and for the season. So it's from him, right? So when I organized this barbecue, I said like God going to change the lives of this group because their religion is in the cricket grounds,
yeah.
Right? So I was praying that how can we reach these people, right? We just spoken to them and I haven't met the whole team. And then when we were doing the barbecue, I don't know, you can see the photos. And when we are doing the barbecue, there was the team who played against our cricket club, right? There's an Indian team, a Punjabi team. And Mark was doing the barbecue and they just said and came and asked, which organization you are from, right? Which organization? Then Mark said, no, we are from Muna, a church. And this guy said, okay, can we just grab something? Can we do our barbecue with you guys? And they brought a whole heap of eggs and all because they are Hindus. They don't eat beef. Then we started connecting them with them too. So it was a very intercultural experience, even for Mark as well. If Mark is there, Mark can explain more about it. Like, that's how I think God will touch the people in where they're at. And now, since it has touched them, they are inviting us to come today at 3:30 and to share that experience.
Yeah, come on.
Right? So what we could do is, if you are happy to come, please come at 3:30 and meet the boys. They are lovely people. And we met two boys who lives across the road in our cricket club. They said, like, I don't know there is a church here. So I want to come when we finish our season. Right? And that's how we inspire. That's how the real love that we can share with the people who are struggling in their lives. Right, they were like, for instance, like Sean and Zach, who has gone through a lot of horrible life in their life. Like they didn't have anything to eat. They were sleeping on the roads. And I was talking to Sean last week as well. He was sharing that his family just neglected him, and he didn't know where to go and ask help. But now he sees from us there's some people who are interested in their life, who want to invest in their life and change their life. So that's how the Holy Spirit can change their lives. So I just want to say that and enjoy. And the other one, what I did was, I really love the Bridgewater community as well. So there are others I know who are thinking about how we can help the Bridgewater community. So one of the things we did, this is just a one photo. We did another one. We took some milk boxes and gave it away for the first time with that community, with myself and Peter Swift. And they gave me a call, the guy called Wally. He just rang me and said, Chris, do you have any more milk? Right? Because there are a lot of young families who are there struggling to get milk. So I said, yeah, we got few things. When do you want us to come? So myself and Peter went again, and that's the photo that I want to share, that they really felt that real love by reaching out to them. And when this is how I believe personally, God speaks to us, right? God brings people and he gives opportunity from them and with an invitation and say, can you come and help us? That's the opportunity for us to show the real love. So if we don't listen to that, I mean, we won't be able to reach the real love to the community. That's my personal view, right? So when there's a need, when there's an opportunity for us to show that real love, right, the God will bring people and ask for a request from them to us.
Yeah.
And that's the opportunity we can change the hearts of them as well. And that's how we can speak Jesus to them in that opportunity. So I really encourage you, if you have time today, please come to Sorrel Oval. Yeah, it's at 3:30, and I have arranged the bus, and Peter is happy to drive the bus. And if anybody wants to come in, just come here around 1:30 and 2, between 1:30 and 2, and we'll take you there, and we'll come and drop you here as well. So make use of that opportunity, and this is how we can reach real love to the community. Thank you.
Brilliant. Thanks, Chris. That's good. So real life gathers. You know, it's one thing to reach out, but you know, you got to gather people. You got to actually connect them, and real love grows. When it's there, it just grows. Really excited. In the next couple of weeks, we're starting our gospel quarter. We're doing the first 8 chapters of Romans, and we're really just going to explain the way that Paul explained the gospel to heathens, to non-Jews, to people that had never understood it before. So it's really clear. Obviously, we've got this great centre here, and it's a centre of hope, it's a centre of gathering, it's a centre for the community, a centre for influence, centre for partnership, collaboration, worship, centre for celebration. And we're believing we're going to get this area functionally complete this year. We're going to build our auditorium and our cafe and all that. And Leonie talked about that grant, and it wasn't a little grant, and she thought you had a really good chance of getting a 500K grant. But I think God's saying, you know, you don't need to lean on the government. You don't need to lean on those places, because I am going to do something in this place. And so, you know, we just before the year finished, we had our business people together, and there's a great spirit and all of us together to be able to get this done. You know, we're believing that we've got to come up with about 500K out of ourselves and our relationships and our influence. And you look around and you think, how are we going to do that? And God says, I'm going to do it. You know, but we've got to partner with Him. We've got to be in it together. So let's choose to do that. Just as I finished this morning, and I'll be briefer than what I had planned here. But, you know, we don't have a patent on real love. We're not able to love more authentically or more generously or more real than anyone else. Who's ever done something and you get that look followed by, that wasn't very Christian? I forgot any friends in the room.
Absolutely.
Wasn't very Christian what you just said. Christians don't use that language. Who's ever felt guilty about not being enough? In fact, it isn't about us, is it? It's about the fact we have a God who is real. And it's real love living in us. What's the secret? How can people like you and me, who actually sometimes act a little unchristian, who display some unchristian traits, how can we live in that place? Well, listen, I want to just, we'll unpack some of this in the future. But here's 3 verses which I think are absolutely key, and Alex touched on it this morning. I believe she'll probably preach into one of these soon. But Galatians 2:20 says, my old self, this is Paul talking, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself. So Paul teaches that the answer is to die to the old. And then he goes on in verse 19, he says, for when I tried to keep the law, it condemned me. I died to the law. I stopped trying to meet all the requirements so that I might live for God. You see, Paul was being accused of being un-Jewish. It was the same as being un-Christian. It was like he was accused of not keeping the rules, not doing it the right way, not doing the traditional stuff. And he actually confronted Peter over it. This is what this verse was all about. And he says this to Peter. He says, "For no one will ever be made right with God by obeying the law." And Paul teaches that the power and the freedom and his capacity to love those who beat him and threw him into jail, criticised his preaching, criticised his leadership, criticised his looks, criticised his charisma. He actually said the secret to loving people in that place is actually in the letting go and the dying. He says, "I've died to the law, I've died to the power of rules, I've died to being condemned by feeling like I've got to do enough stuff. I've actually died to my own passions. They were nailed to the cross with Jesus." And then he goes on in completely another book, Corinthians 5:17, he says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ," and this is where we started, "he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new is here." All right, Paul said it. Listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said, in Luke 9:24, he says, "If you try and hang on to your life, you'll lose it. But if you give it up for my sake, you will save it." See, the power is in the letting go. The power is actually not in giving up, but the power is in the giving up to him of your stuff. I think sometimes as Christians we get that wrong. Oh, we're just going to give up. You know, all these bumper stickers and sayings, "Let go, let God." And we've got a whole generation of Christians that let go and let God and nothing's happening. Because God said, no, it's when you let go and you give it up to me so that I can empower you and use you for what I've called you to do. And Jesus went on, John 12:23 and 25, and this is, Alex has got some real revelation on this, and she shared a little bit this morning, and I believe she might share more on it. But "for sure, I tell you, unless a seed falls into the ground and dies, it will only be seed." Who's got lots of packets of seeds in their cupboard? And they were going to be a good idea to plant at some point. But they are in your cupboard. And what are they doing? Nothing. And while they remain in their cupboard, they will be there for years and years and years. Here we go. Now. Anybody ready to go? I declare broccoli in the name of Jesus. And carrots. These could be bearing fruit in our garden right now if they were planted. If they went into the ground and died so that new things could come. And it's a word for this season and for this year. And it's a word for every individual that is in this place right now, for those that are online. Unless the seed falls into the ground, it's planted, the seed's dead. That season, last year's season, is gone. But new life is here. I want to encourage you. what are you gonna let go into the ground so that new things can come? I'll leave it at that. Let's stand. Team, won't join me. There's actually nothing. See, I could take these seeds right now and I could scatter them on this carpet. And you're all smart enough to know that they're not going to grow in this carpet, hopefully. Or I could take them outside and I could throw them in the car park. Or I could take them out the front, or I could scatter them on the main road. Or I could probably even throw them across the lawn in my backyard, which is growing quite well and quite lush, and they still may not grow. But they actually need to be planted in the right environment. They need to be planted in good soil. They need to be planted where, you know, that soil is soft enough for them to take root, and it's got the nutrients there that they need, and the water, and an environment where, you know, these seeds will become carrots and broccoli. That's why Jesus said, you know what, if you would plant your life in me, in my family, in my house, well, then I can do an amazing thing. I want to talk to two groups of people here this morning. You may never have given your life up to Jesus. You see, you can give your life up for all sorts of things, all sorts of noble causes, all sorts of great things that pay dividends in one sense or other. But ultimately, all those things will finish. But if you would give your life up to Jesus, you can be planted in a place where you make an eternal difference. You actually find peace. You find future. You find what nothing else can give. And if this morning, if you would just say, Jesus, I'm sorry that I haven't acknowledged you before. I'm sorry that I haven't understood that you are more than just a name, that you're more than just a historical figure. If you're online, just think about this now, that you are God Himself and you love me. He loved you so much that He gave up everything. Imagine coming out of the glory of being the God of the universe. What does it take to go from that place to be nailed to a cross and called a lunatic? What does that take? It's what He did for you. This morning, if you've never done that, if you've never come to Jesus, He's not asking you to follow rules. He's not asking you to subscribe to a religion. He's not asking you to be. He's not actually asking you to stop doing this or that. He's just saying, give your life to me and we'll work it out together. We bow our heads and close our eyes. If this morning, if you know you haven't done that, and right now, you know you need to make that call, that choice, just slip your hand up where you are and say, Dave, that's me. If you're online, please Don't just switch off now, but this is the most important question I ask you. Maybe you've never been in a church. Maybe you've never ever thought you would respond in this way, but you're feeling it. That's the Holy Spirit. He's speaking to you where you are. If you're in the building, just wave, just give me a wave, send us a message online and say, yeah, hey, I want to respond. If that's you this morning, just give me a quick wave where you are. Maybe there are others in the room and you've responded like this, but you know this morning, you're not totally sure where you're at. And you just need to make that fresh commitment to Jesus. If that's you, just give me a quick wave. So that's me. Praise God. Praise God. Awesome. Awesome. If you're online, please send us a message. Let's bow our heads and we're going to pray together. I'll pray, you pray with me. Let's stand together for those that are making a decision this morning. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you love me. I acknowledge you are the Son of God. I ask right now that you would forgive me. Thank you for meeting me where I'm at. I choose to give my life to you. I accept your love from this day forward. I choose to follow you. Thank you for saving me. Fill me with your Spirit. Amen. We're just going to finish in a moment that the team will lead us. But if right now, I just want to pray for people as you stand in this place and you know that there are things that, like these seeds, just need to be let go. Not thrown away and scattered, but they actually need to be placed in good soil. You know, where God can use them, where He can water them, where He can do His thing. We just bow our heads, close our eyes. If that's you, and I believe there are a lot of people here, the Holy Spirit wants to do something here. If that's you, just raise your hands. Raise your hands together. And we're going to pray into that. Just as... Lord Jesus, I thank you that the power, the effectiveness, that our security, our satisfaction, that our purpose isn't in our own brilliance. It's not in our own circumstances. It's not in our upbringing. But it is in you. And right now, some of those things that we hold dear, that we lay them down and we plant them in your soil, in your house. Some of us need to place the dreams that we have for our children in that place. Some of us need to place those dreams that we've had for what you might do with us in our careers, in our families, in your kingdom, in our ministry. We just lay it down and we ask that in you, we know that you will water it, that there will be good soil. Holy Spirit, that you would rain down on that. I just pray right now that there are a couple of people here that you're just going to release a weight, you're going to release expectation from them, and they're going to feel a peace that they haven't felt in many years in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.